Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lucky Cowboy, a Men of Stone Ridge novel by Heatherly Bell, narrated by Johanna Parker. Prologue.
Let me make one thing perfectly clear. Far too many of you make fun of our acronym. But no, we do not call ourselves the Ladies of Sorrow because we're sad. Far from it. We are the Society of Reasonable, Respectable, and Organized Women. We are a society, one of reasonable women. And, sure, okay, it's too long to say the entire name. There.
We're simply everything the name of our society itself indicates.
Respectable women, who appreciate the position we're in.
I'll let you in on a little secret, dear.
We run this town. Sure, sure, we're in the minority, but that has mostly worked out to be an advantage. Who wouldn't love to be one of the few, the proud? Oh, wait, never mind. For decades, Stone Ridge, Texas has been a town filled with a majority of men. We're not exactly sure how this happened, but let's begin with the fact that we're a ranch in town. Think cowboys, cows. Lots of lakes for fishing and hunting. In other words, it's like a huge man cave. But honestly, our lack of women also has something to do with the lack of jobs and services for us. We don't even have a hairdresser in town, for the love of Pete. My new daughter-in-law does my hair in her home every other Tuesday. But I digress. What we do have is a great deal of eligible young men around marrying age. I myself had 7 suitors before I chose to wed my sainted husband, Lloyd. This is the place to be if a woman wants to feel special. We're like Alaska, but warmer. Yes, thank you. I will get to the point. We need more women in our quaint town because we do have the men. Oh, do we have the men? Rodeo cowboys, ranchers, construction workers. Hard bodies, chiseled jaws, and all those things the youngins like. So, of course, when the subject of a local primary school came up, as it does once every 5 or so years, Sadie Stevens was the first woman I thought of. Uh-huh. She left town for Baylor University a few years ago to get her degree in education. After graduation, for some reason unknown to me, she settled in the metropolis of San Antonio. Can you believe it? San Antonio! Sometimes there's just no accounting for taste. Honestly, she's the sweetest girl in the world. Close to her family and her older brother, Beau. Never has a bad word to say about anyone. A pretty and petite blonde with hazel eyes. No, I'm not giving you her measurements. By the way, there's a rumor that her college boyfriend broke her heart. And she's been a little shy of love ever since then. Suffice it to say, the men of Stone Ridge are above reproach. Why, they'd rather break their own leg than any woman's heart. We're glad to have Sadie back. That's right. She's agreed to take the position as our new school's first teacher. Yes, men of Stone Ridge, you are welcome. Sadie Stevens is back in town, and she's single. Let the games begin. Beulah Hayes, acting president of the Society of Reasonable, Respectable, and Organized Women, Sorrow, and author of The Men of Stone Ridge, 10th edition.
Chapter 1. No other 28-year-old woman in Stone Ridge, Texas could say this, but Sadie Stevens started the Tuesday after Labor Day with circle time. She stood in the old building that long ago served its purpose as the town's original church, an old white clapboard building with a steeple and a toneless broken belfry. It had seen better days, on or around the turn of the century. As long as Sadie could remember, everyone had worshipped at Trinity Church in the center of town. This morning, a small group of children ages 5 to 8 sat in a circle inside of the old but newly cleaned and painted church. All the pews and the baptismal font were removed, and there remained one large room with a strip of carpet in the center over the hardwood floors. Small desks and chairs were flanked in groups around the room. In her class were 15 boys and 5 girls. The classroom's mix of boys to girls was just about right for Stone Ridge, Texas's demographics, where men outnumbered women by about 5 to 1, and Sadie would be the first teacher at Stone Ridge Elementary.
Boys and girls, you probably already know that my name is Sadie Stevens, but y'all can call me Miss Sadie.
She turned to write her name in large letters on the whiteboard in bold black marker. Something tapped the side of Sadie's head, and she turned to see a paper plane at her feet.
He did it!
Ellie Monroe, one of her kindergartners, pointed to Jimmy Ray, an 8-year-old. Sadie bent to pick it up from the floor. She didn't want to start their day off in a negative way, so she turned it over in her hands and admired it for a moment.
Why, what a wonderful piece of engineering!
You're pretty, said Jimmy Ray.
How adorable! The cute kid grinned, showing 2 missing front teeth.
Ew, said Bobby Joe. She's old.
Is not.
Ellie scrunched up her little face. This brought about a general discussion between the boys and girls regarding who was old, such as one's grandmother. But Miss Sadie was simply a grown-up. Ellie won the round with her impressive logic.
You guys are so smart.
Sadie took back control of the conversation.
What a lively discussion.
Yes, Jimmy Ray, I'm 28, a bit old for you. But thank you for saying that I'm pretty.
When's snack time?
Bobby Joe raised his hand.
My mom said y'all would give me snacks if I'm good. I'm being good. Where's my snack?
That's a great question. We will have our snack soon. Ellie's mom volunteered to bring it today. But I'm sure you just ate a big breakfast.
I have a hollow leg,
Bobby Joe said with conviction.
Does not,
Ellie said, who would obviously become the classroom's fact checker.
All right.
Sadie took a deep and steadying breath.
We're going to get to know each other a little bit first. Some of you already know how to read, and others are just learning, so I need to find out more about you.
This is going to be so interesting. I can't wait to find out who can already read. Nearly every hand raised, all except for Ellie, who pouted and crossed her arms.
Oh, dear. Sadie probably shouldn't have said that.
Wait, I didn't ask you to raise your hands. Little hands lowered.
The point is, soon you will all be reading.
Sadie ended circle time after each child said their name out loud, and she'd pointed them to their assigned desk with their decorated name card. She could hardly contain her excitement and nearly rubbed her hands together. She would finally teach and mold little minds. She dreamed about this day, and it was finally here, and in her hometown, no less. How wonderful to influence the future generation of both the women and men of Stone Ridge. She would have a challenge, teach in the first class at different levels, but she'd created a plan. Until recently, many parents of grade school children homeschooled, since Stone Ridge was a small, remote town deep in Texas Hill Country. Older children were usually sent on a bus to the neighboring town of Kerrville, a 40-minute ride each way. A long bus ride. One Sadie remembered well. She, her brother Beau, and other friends rode the bus for years. But now, local parents would have options. Thanks to Beulah Hayes' efforts, they'd began the search for a location and a plan to raise funds last year and wrangled support from the town's residents. There would still be many fundraisers ahead of them to fully fund the effort. Because they didn't yet have all their district certifications, they'd applied for a charter and received some money from the state. They'd raised enough through Beulah's pet organization, the Ladies of Sorrow, to pay for a year of Sadie's abysmal salary. And while the ladies scouted for another, better location, they'd provided the old church so that Sadie could begin teaching this fall. 2 hours into the school day, Sadie counted 10 times she'd returned Jimmy Ray's shoe to him because he kept throwing it. She talked to him, but he didn't seem to think he was doing anything wrong. On the 11th time, she got wise and put it in her desk drawer, telling him he'd get it back at the end of the day. He then hopped around the classroom for a few minutes on 1 foot, earning lots of laughs. Sadie asked him to sit down, then handed out reading books. And while some of the kids took to reading them quietly, others fought over them. Ellie wanted Black Beauty because of the horse on the cover, but Jimmy Ray reminded her that she couldn't read, so she should go ahead and take the baby book. Ellie burst into tears. Sadie gathered the little girl into her arms and considered joining her.
This day was not going well so far. She'd pictured an entirely different kind of experience, with well-behaved children, eager to read a book and learn.
Jimmy Ray, I'm going to need you to apologize to Ellie. There's no such thing in my class as a baby book.
Baby, baby, baby!
Jimmy Ray laughed as again he hopped around on one foot. And Sadie could take no more. She rarely lost her temper, and never with a child. But Jimmy Ray had just stepped on her last nerve. She would never tolerate cruelty among her children.
Jimmy Ray, how many times have I told you? Sit down! I mean it now, Sadie said, and stomped her foot in emphasis,
and went right through the bottom of the wooden floor.
Termites can do a hell of a lot of damage, said
Riggs Henderson.
I've seen entire beams fall.
A local rancher, Riggs was also a foreman and worked odd construction jobs here and there. He managed the occasional renovation in town and sometimes worked with Sadie's father. He'd been driving by in his truck when he saw the commotion gathered outside the old church. Many of the men who gathered stood eyeing the floor and the foot of crawl space under it. There were plenty of headshakes as an entire crew arrived and got to work. In their town, residents came together in times of need. It took one call to the phone tree, started by Beulah Hayes herself this time, who'd walked over from the general store nearby, which was owned by her husband. Sadie sat with the children outside on the porch steps, out of the way of danger until their parents could arrive. To say the children were fascinated was an understatement. Suddenly, no one talked about snacks or reading levels. They'd just seen their teacher's feet go through a supposedly solid wood floor. Jimmy Ray simply stared in horror when Sadie's first foot went through the floor. He must have thought her to be incredible cartoonish mad. Not the case, but either she'd gained too much weight this summer, or these termites had feasted for decades. Beulah Hayes shook her finger.
The inspector said it was fine. We tented for termites weeks ago.
Who did you use?
Riggs asked.
I'll have to look through my paperwork, Beulah huffed. But he came from Kerrville. Gave me a decent rate.
A general groan of consensus came out of the man, as if the good people of Kerrville couldn't be trusted to know a termite infestation from a scorpion one.
Are you sure you don't need a trip to the hospital, Missy?
This was directed to Sadie from Lenny, one of their volunteer firefighters, a man about her father's age.
It's not like I fell far. My boot took the worst of it, Sadie said.
I'm fine, but thanks.
Miss Sadie went through the floor,
Ellie said.
I'm scared. There's a monster down there.
No monster,
Lenny said, bending.
It's a teeny tiny little bug, you see? So small, no one can even see it.
You're not helping, Sadie warned.
Oh, they don't eat children,
Lenny said with a chuckle and a wave.
But they eat through wood like a summer bitch.
Lenny, my house is made of wood,
Ellie said with a hitch in her breath.
Will they eat my house, Miss Sadie?
No, no, sweetie, Sadie said, glaring at Lenny. I'm sure they won't. A bevy of pickup trucks arrived one after the other, their tires crunching into the gravel as they pulled into the church parking lot. This would be the second wave of men, arriving to help, meaning they would have dropped everything they were doing on the ranch. Life wasn't easy in Stone Ridge, as services were few and residents were forced to rely on each other. The fire department, for instance, all volunteer. As a former EMT, Sadie took her turn, too. They currently didn't have a doctor or clinic, and no police, relying on the county sheriff an hour away. There was no hairdresser in town, no clothing stores, no coffee shop, no movie theater, and spotty cell service and Wi-Fi. They did, however, have rolling hills, trees, rivers, lakes, and lots of great fishing. There was Trinity Church, a veterinary clinic. There were more animals in town than people, the general store, and the Shady Grind, a bar and grill. But the best part of her hometown was the way the men of Stone Ridge revered their few women. They were held in high regard, protected. This was just one of the reasons Sadie came home after getting her teaching degree. Here, she'd have a better-than-average chance of finding a husband. In fact, he could be here right now, wondering if he'd ever find a woman in this woman-scarcity town. Maybe he'd even bring his niece or nephew to the school one day for drop-off or pick-up.
Ada Armstrong's nephew was coming to visit, and she couldn't talk enough about him. But Sadie wasn't too excited because he sounded so desperate for a wife. In any case, with the right man, their gazes would meet across the tops of the children's heads. She'd feel that little zip and zing, the jolt and kablammy that her best friend Eve Iglesias talked about. Sadie's pupils would dilate, and bam, she'd fall in love. Once, she'd felt that zip and zing and thought she knew just the right man for her. But that was years ago. She'd given up on him. As the trucks filed in one after another, Sadie noticed her older brother Beau's truck, Wade Cruz, two more of the Henderson brothers, and, of course, Lincoln Carver, the man she'd wanted since she could remember having the slightest interest in boys, the one she'd finally given up on. A few years ago, Lincoln stopped speaking to Sadie, and even though everyone else moved on from the feud that caused this, Lincoln still remained civil, but nothing more than civil. Then again, he was a loyal sort, one of his most attractive qualities, followed closely by the long, brawny body, strong arms, chiseled jaw, and dimples. Sigh. He and the rest of the men went to work as if they did this every day, gathering tools and supplies from their truck beds. Lincoln walked by her first, nodding and tipping his Stetson.
Sadie?
Hey there, Lincoln. Her heart rate spiked the way it always did when he appeared anywhere near her vicinity.
Hey, sis, Beau said as he walked up the steps next.
You okay there?
I'm fine. Sorry to be so much trouble.
What a first day, right?
Beau said and turned to the first crew of men.
What do we have going on here? How can we help? We're going to need to move them to another location,
Riggs Henderson advised.
We've got to rip out all this wood and replace it. Should take a week or more. We should do a more thorough inspection. Walls, floor, roof. I wouldn't feel comfortable having children in there otherwise.
Sadie closed her eyes and pinched the bridge of her nose. Well, there went her teaching career. Maybe she could move back to San Antonio, get her old job, and come back and try this again next fall.
Now, Beulah said, as though reading Sadie's mind. I am sorry about all this, but don't you despair. We'll find another location for y'all right quick.
Except a centrally located empty building in the middle of town didn't exist. The parents began to arrive for their children and were informed. They appeared well-rested, even after the short school day, but Sadie had probably aged 10 years in the last 5 minutes. Because it was still early in the day, she left the men to it and headed 2 blocks down to the veterinary clinic where Eve worked as a veterinarian. Most of the time, Eve was out on a large animal call, but Sadie caught sight of her old blue beat-up truck parked outside. She opened the door to an empty waiting room where Eve sat behind the receptionist desk. She and the other vet, Annabeth, couldn't afford to hire an admin yet.
Hey, Eve said, coming around the desk to give Sadie a hug.
I heard. By now, everyone would have.
I don't know what we're going to do. How did it go otherwise?
You know what it's like when you see a dress you love online, and then you see that it's on sale? The last one in your size. When you place the order, it turns out you get an additional discount at checkout. You can't believe your good luck. The dress arrives, free shipping, of course, and when you take it out of the package and try it on, it fits you just like it was made for you? Eve nodded, smiling in anticipation.
Well, today was nothing like that.
Sadie collapsed on one of the empty waiting chairs.
It was a disaster. I don't think I taught them a single thing, except that I'm a pushover.
Eve sat beside Sadie.
Oh, hon. Well, it will get better. I thought it would be different. I was so excited about my lesson plan, but I couldn't keep their attention. Until I went through the floor, of course. Then no one would take their eyes off me.
Don't be so hard on yourself. You're doing something that's never been done before here.
And maybe there was a reason for that.
Yes, we didn't have Sadie Stevens, teacher extraordinaire. Sadie allowed the thought to cheer her a little bit.
The point is, I was excited about teaching them. They're not quite as excited to learn. And now I don't know how they will until the termite damage is repaired.
Don't you worry. I'm sure Beulah is on this like a bean in caffeine.
Even Beulah can't materialize a building out of thin air, she sighed. I'm sure the guys will get the work done soon. I'm not so sure. She'd seen the expression on her brother's face. He worked in construction with their father, and he didn't look happy as he studied the eaves and beams. He shook his head far too often, and once he said to Lincoln, "Would you take a look at this? Who would let this building pass inspection?" "Who's your favorite student?" Eve said. "Well, a teacher shouldn't have favorites, but if I did, it would be Ellie Monroe." "Oh, yeah, she's a cutie. She and her mom come around every now and then to check on our rescues. They've adopted nearly every cat we've rescued. Ellie names them after the months of the year." Eve chuckled. "She's up to May." Sadie sighed. "Yeah, and because of me, now every kid in class knows she can't read." "She's only 5, isn't she?" Eve cocked her head. "That's not the point. She cried when another kid took a higher-level book away from her because she can't read." Eve frowned. Only she would know the significance of that for Sadie. She couldn't help having such a tender heart. Eve had a huge heart for animals of all types. Sadie, a heart for books, followed closely by children, all of them on Earth. But she would have to toughen up to be a teacher. Otherwise, her students would smell her weakness the way sharks smelled blood. "Maybe I should have become a paramedic, or just stayed as an EMT," Sadie said. Her position after getting her degree was as both a public school teacher and an emergency medical technician in San Antonio. With the pay so poor, she needed 2 jobs to make ends meet in a bigger city. But teaching remained her first love. She'd been an adequate EMT. Mostly, she'd been a glorified taxi from hospital to convalescent home and back. Giving comfort and aid to people at the end of their lives made Sadie realize she had a lot more living to do. She'd been about to enroll in courses to become a paramedic and increase her pay when, on a visit to her parents, Beulah again brought up the subject of a school. Sadie wanted to move back to Stone Ridge, like her best friend Eve, and Sadie missed her quirky town. Eve stood. "Wait right here. I've got something for you." When Eve returned from the back rooms, she carried a furry little creature in her arms, a rabbit. "This little guy is so soft. Someone brought him in after finding him injured a couple of weeks ago. He's fully recovered, and I'm ready to set him free again. There's no way you can hold him and not feel better about your day." "Eve, I'm sorry. This must all seem so silly to you." "Of course not. I didn't have the best first day either." Sadie winced. "I remember. You put a horse down." And Eve had been through the ringer in the past few years, beginning with her last-minute decision not to show up on her wedding day to Jackson, Lincoln's younger brother. That awful day caused a feud between the two families. And of course, Sadie, also a loyal sort, took Eve's side. Eve's problems were real, but Sadie just had a bad day. Okay, a horrible day. "I love you, little one." Sadie cuddled the rabbit, gray and white, and soft as silk. "You're right. I feel better already." No one ever said teaching would be easy after all, but simply that it could be rewarding. Just because she'd lost control of her classroom today didn't mean it would happen again. She'd just have to kindly exert her authority, kill them with kindness, or give them a motivation that didn't involve a sugary snack for a reward. "Maybe when we get back, I could make this little guy our class pet. Rabbits are always good for that, aren't they? The kids could learn responsibility, and it could be a positive behavior modifier." "Sure," Eve said. "Although, rabbits are sensitive to loud noises. I'm close if you change your mind. I'll just come get him." Sadie sat up straighter, inspired. "I've tried to think outside the box, but some of the old tried and true methods might work also." "Why not?" Eve said. "And don't forget show and tell, or career day. I could come and talk to the kids about being a vet." "Would you? That would be amazing. The girls would love that. And you should get Lincoln to come show the boys how to rope. There's nothing boys love more than a rodeo champ." Even the sound of his name sometimes landed her with a sucker punch. But despite the fact Jackson had been engaged to Eve, it always seemed that Lincoln didn't remember Sadie. But of course he did. The few women in this town hardly faded into the background. And Sadie was Beau's sister, who happened to be one of Lincoln's close friends. He did know her. He just didn't much seem to care.
That's a wonderful idea, too.
She continued to pat the puffy piece of silk.
I should think about asking him.
Maybe. Eve laughed. Don't be shy about it. If you want, I can put a bug in Meemaw's ear. I've been spending some time up at the ranch lately, helping out with the grooming for some extra cash.
Lincoln hasn't really talked to me since, well, you know.
He doesn't talk much to me either, but this might be a good opportunity. I mean, the rest of us have moved on. It's his turn.
He's really loyal to his brother.
Seeing the pained look on Eve's face, Sadie changed the subject.
And anyway, isn't Lincoln really busy?
To hear Bo tell it, Lincoln practically ran that cattle ranch. He and his father, Hank, on their own, since Jackson took off for Nashville a few years ago. During the rodeo season, Lincoln tended to be gone for weeks at a time. He turned pro a couple of years ago, and every once in a while, she'd seen him at the Shady Grind, having a beer with the boys, showing off that shiny belt buckle to eager women. He was tall, with long legs, built like a running back, but despite his size, carried himself with ease and grace. Hair always on the wrong side of a cut, a shiny copper brown, and his eyes. They were the deepest shade of blue she'd ever seen, and they crinkled when he smiled.
He's not too busy to help out a friend.
Fine, Sadie said, ready to end this topic.
I'll ask him.
Are you going straight home? If not, I could use a little company while I straighten out the surgery suite before it gets returned.
All I have waiting at home is Ben and Jerry's.
Eve took the bunny back from Sadie and put it in his little cage in the back. Sadie followed Eve through the back of the clinic to where the trailer she and Annabeth occasionally rented sat parked. Eve called it a hospital on wheels. It looked like a fifth wheel from the outside. Some surgeries were performed in the trailer, as well as x-rays of large animals. Eve often towed it to horse and cattle ranches in the area. As Sadie stepped inside behind Eve, she noted all the space inside the trailer. The amount of room caught her by surprise. Eve gloved up and began tidying the counters.
So, did Lincoln come out to help today?
You know he did, Sadie said. All the men showed up to help poor Sadie, who went straight through the wood floor on her first day of class. You make it sound like somehow that's your fault.
No, it's just my lousy luck. She hated being rescued.
This time, it couldn't be helped.
Or Beulah, trying to save a penny and rush things. She's been wanting the school to open since forever.
I wish I didn't get my hopes up.
How is Lincoln, anyway? Haven't seen him for a while.
Still just as handsome a cuss as ever.
Still just as single as ever.
Eve smiled, wiping the counter.
Stop. I gave up on him a long time ago.
Yeah? If I recall, you gave up after my wedding day fail.
And I've told you before, because Jackson and I didn't work doesn't mean you can't wind up with Lincoln someday.
But Sadie's mind was suddenly elsewhere. Her father owned portables bigger than this trailer that he hauled from one job to another. Once a job was complete, the portable moved to the next location.
And in some large cities, portables were a way of increasing student enrollment without having to budget for the cost of building, which could be astronomical.
Oh, my Lord! Sadie jumped up, clapping her hands, as the idea became fully formed.
What? What is it?
I love you. Thanks to you, I think I just figured out a way to save our school year.
Chapter 2
Lincoln began his day being kicked in the ass by a pissed-off bull and ended it by tearing down termite-infested beams from the rafters of the old church. All in all, a pretty violent Tuesday for him.
Hey, y'all, Bo called out. Let's head on over to the Shady Grind. We'll pick this back up tomorrow.
Knowing Bo, he'd assigned some of the men who worked for his father's construction company to help, too.
Lincoln would fit the work in whenever he could, but he would do his part. Thankfully, there were enough men to get the job done. Manpower was never a problem in Stone Ridge. The materials were another issue entirely, but he assumed Beulah was at this moment planning yet another bake sale or knit-a-thon. He still remembered the day he'd been informed that money could be raised by knitting, of all things. Who knew? Lincoln parked his truck and went inside, just as a group of ranch hands were walking into the bar. Usually not much but cowboys in this bar and grill. One owned and operated by Priscilla, a real throwback to the 70s. She wore her big platinum blonde hair teased out to the sides. That hair of hers had its own zip code. The bar itself was old school with a
Sample complete. Ready to continue?